Amen. It is certainly good to be back this evening, that we might continue and conclude our worship on this Lord's Day, which indeed is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good to see you here this evening. Appreciate the singing led by Brother Clifford Prowl. Appreciate the scripture reading by Brother Solomon. And we appreciate the prayer by Brother James Waller. And we appreciate your presence and your cooperative blending your voices together with the song leader, thinking and aligning your minds with the articulations of the prayer leader, and giving an attentive ear to the reading of God's word. We invite you now to consider with us our lesson for this evening. It's a simple lesson, but it is a serious lesson. It is a sobering lesson as well. Before I go into my lesson, I do want to mention that my wife is not here this evening. Seems like she's coming down with something. So please remember her in your prayers. She was experiencing some chills, and she don't know whether she got too hot today or exactly what happened today, but she was not able to be here tonight. I'd like to talk to you this evening using as the specific title of our lesson, Lessons We Learn from the Ants. Lessons we learn from the ants. I try to always be open to learning valuable lessons, even if the lesson is learned from a child. Even if the lesson is learned from an illiterate, if the lesson is to be learned from one who is of great age, if you have something positive to teach me, if you have something meaningful to teach me, if you have something that is helpful to teach me, if you have something that is enlightening to teach me, I'm open to learning, because I know that learning good things, learning wise things, only enhances me and advances me on my way. God has so arranged and ordained the universe that just paying attention to the world around us can provide us with valuable lessons. Just by observing, and I think in terms of macro observation, has to do with things on a large scale from which we are privileged to learn. Especially do I think about the heavenly bodies, the vast universe in which we live. Along these lines, Psalm 8, verses 3 through 9 is quite instructive. The psalmist says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea. Whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. There are some meaningful lessons we can learn from just observing the heavenly bodies, the various bodies that populate the sky in their vastness. When we think about the predetermined orbits that they follow, as they make their way through the heavens, they operate in accordance with and in harmony with the immutable laws of God. And they move with such accuracy that we can predict when Halley's Comet is going to make its advent again and come in close proximity to the earth. The heavenly bodies which God has ordained move with such precision in their rotations on their axis and in their orbits through space that we can predict as scientists exactly when the next solar eclipse is going to take place, exactly when the next lunar eclipse is going to take place, because these heavenly bodies can be depended upon to follow inexorably the laws that God has put in place. We ought to do the same thing. We ought to respect the laws of God that He has designed for our benefit. We ought to adhere to his commandments and keep his commandments. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. This is the whole duty of man. The moon does, the sun does, the earth does, the various planetary bodies do, the stars, the multitudinous stars in the universe, they all operate according to the laws of God. Shouldn't we do the same? Especially in as much as we are the crowning work of God's creation. These are things that we learn through macro observation. But we want to talk to you just for a little while this evening on things that we learn that we can apply to our lives through micro observation. To do macro observation, you can be greatly aided with the utilization of a telescope. With micro observation, where you're observing small things, you would be aided in many instances by the utilization of a microscope. course, you can observe ants without having to employ a microscope if you will look very closely. And I used to watch with great fascination those little ants while I was growing up on the farm in the Delta of Mississippi. And I think I became pretty familiar with how they operated, their activities and their works. And it was great fascination to watch these little creatures, these little insects. There are some lessons that can be learned definitively from careful observation of these little creatures. Notice what the wise man says. He says, go to the ant. Go, that's the command. Go. Go where? Go to whom? Go to the counselor. What counselor? The ant. They are the source of wisdom, of advice. So we are commanded, go to the ant. And then he gives an interesting characterization, which just refers to the act of describing the character or qualities of someone or something. To whom is the command given? He says, go to the ant. Who's to go to the ant? Who's to go to the ant? To whom do you speak? Lord, thou sluggard. This person is characterized as a sluggard, as a lazy one, as a slow one, as an unconcerned one. Go, the command, to the ant, the counselor. To whom, the sluggard? That's the one to whom the command is given. And when you go to the ant, what are you supposed to do? Consider. Consider. That's the consideration. Consider. To consider is to think carefully about something. To consider is to look attentively at, to think about and be drawn toward a course of action. To consider is to regard someone or something as having a special quality, and that definitely applies in this contextual setting. Consider the ant's way. The ant's behavioral patterns. Consider the ant's activities. And you'll gain insight. You'll be the recipient of nature's wisdom if you'll just be observant. Consider her ways. Now, I have done that. I have watched, I have observed very closely the activities of the ants. And there are some things I have discovered as I have observed the ants. One thing I notice is that there is discernible organization among the ants. there is apparent preparation among the ants. There is some kind of communication between the ants. I don't know exactly how it operates, but I sense that it's there by observing their activities. But not only is this so, I have noticed cooperation between the ants. I've seen one ant struggling, trying to carry a piece of a leaf or a piece of bread, and having a little guy having a tough time trying to move it to where he wants it to be on his own. You know what happens? Another ant will come up, grab a hold to it, and help out his fellow, help out his neighbor. Bear ye one another's burdens. Wouldn't it be wonderful if more people helped each other out? If more people cooperated with each other? If more people of God were willing to work together in a cooperative manner, in a cooperative venture to reach goals and objectives cooperatively. Those little fellows, they cooperate with each other. Now, man and other mammals and other creatures, they have what we describe in scientific terms as an endoskeleton. Your solid parts that enable you to have strength and to move things about is within your body. Your bones are on the inside, those hard structures known as bones. But now with the ant and with a number of other insects, they have what's called an exoskeleton. They are firm, hard structures on the outside. And you know what that provides them? You know what that enables them to do? It gives them far more strength than is commensurate with their infinitesimal size, their small size. They can pick up something a whole lot heavier proportionately than we can, because the exoskeleton endows them with additional strength. But even so, they still need help from their fellows. And on the human plane, no matter how strong we might be, no matter how self-sufficient we might think ourselves to be, we still need help. Preachers need help. Elders need help. Deacons need help. Teachers need help. Parents need help. Bear ye one another's burden. So fulfill the law of Christ. Lessons we learn from the ants. Not only do we notice their organization and their preparation, communication, and cooperation, but their dedication is also evident. Those little guys are committed. You might see a little ant struggling for a long time by himself, tugging at an object, trying to get it to where he wants it to be. And eventually, he'll do it. I don't think I've seen one give up. Have y'all seen one give up? And those little rascals, they are busy. I've never seen a lazy ant. I've never seen one lying on his back chewing on a straw, relaxing with his legs crossed, lounging in the afternoon sun. Every ant I've ever seen, James, been busy. They seemingly have a built-in sense of time, a conscience aware of a sense of urgency as it pertains to the tasks that they perceive it is their duty to do. Actually, they are instinctively programmed by the Creator of the world, and they act in a way that is in harmony with a sense of urgency, with a sense of purpose, with a sense of goals. They seem to realize, hey man, time is passing. I must beat the iron while it's hot. You know, Jesus said in John 9 and verse 4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. We need that built-in sense of time. We need to conduct our lives and engage in our work such that it evidences we have an awareness of, an appreciation of the passing of time and the urgency of the moment. As it is expressed in Ephesians 5, 15 through 17, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You notice he said, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Redeeming the time, verse 16 of Ephesians 5, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. That little ant, he's automatically programmed to do and to live and to act in accordance with the will of the Lord. We are not programmed that way instinctively. But we are programmed that way through the Word of God. For all scriptures given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, completely furnished unto every good work. God has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Time is passing. The days are evil. I'm sure you heard about what happened yesterday, I believe in Kalamazoo, Michigan, where at least six individuals were killed. And I started getting concerned when they started killing folk in Cracker Barrel's parking lot. Just walking up, just shooting people at random. The days are evil. And we need to recognize the sense of urgency that should characterize us as we strive to do the Lord's work. We need to be not unwise, but wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. I want you to think about something with me as we continue. You know, the ant is concerned about the harvest. We should commensurately be concerned about the harvest of souls. Matthew 9, 30, 7 and 38, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. He was talking about souls. Talking about sharing the gospel that we might be able to bring in the sheaves. You know, we should sing that song. John 4:35, after Jesus' encounter with the Samaritan woman at the well, he told his disciples, say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Let's emulate the ants as we learn valuable lessons from them. There's no limit to what we can achieve, to what we can accomplish. There's no limit to the good we can do, to the number of souls we can be utilized by our Lord to save if we'll share the gospel with them. And if we will allow him to use us in bringing in the harvest. Go to the ant. Consider her ways. Be wise. I pray God will help me, will help you, and will help us toward this end. If you're here this evening and you're a child of God but have strayed from the way and want to rededicate your life today through repentance, confession, and prayer, we're going to urge you to take advantage of now.